the course of your career can take so many different tangents. But as long as you keep plowing ahead, which I think that's a really good way of describing it, you know, fields don't plow themselves, do they? Yeah. Seeds don't plant themselves. You've got to put in the effort and the work. So that work and effort has to be there as well. You can't just sit back and be a couch potato and expect it to come to you.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. My name is Akash Damodar and this is Against the Odds, if you didn't already know that. Today's guest is a special one. Sal Youssef is an actor, a voiceover artist, and a stand-up comic. And you might know him from movies like Tiger Zinda Hai, French Biryani, and some Malayalam super hits like Take Off and Eobindha Pustakam. Eobindha Pustakam. Yeah, that's right. Eobindha Pustakam. I am Malayali, but yeah, sometimes when I'm mixing up English and Malayalam, this is how it sounds. Anyway, he moved to Bangalore from London a while ago, about a decade ago. So we're looking for the right balance of local slang with, you know, the right British humor also sprinkled all over it. Then this is the episode for you, because Sal really brings all of that to the table. In this super informational and interesting conversation, we talk about the power of intuition and why you need to trust your gut. And if you have heard of the law of attraction and you're not really too sure about what that is, well, then this episode is perfect, because we slowly peel back those layers and talk about the law of attraction and how it can get you everything you want in life, if not at least some of them. It's definitely worked for Sal, and yeah, we talk about a certain couple of instances where it's really helped him out, and I think that could be maybe your pathway to uncovering manifestation and the law of attraction. Who knows? Maybe you'll know by the end of this episode. This episode is all in ebb and flows, with a balance between some super funny parts and some really hard-hitting topics. So yeah, then let's get right into it. This is my conversation with Sal Youssef. This is Against the Odds, and I'm your host, Akash Damodar. This show is all about inspiring people to take the unconventional path and lead a life that is truly fulfilling and rewarding. Watch and listen as talented individuals take us through their learnings, the challenges they face, and how they continuously adapt to overcome them. Like I said, there's no real start or end to the show. We've just started already. I mean, who knows what part of what you said. Maybe not the bit that you said not to publish, which we'll publish. And yeah, get out there. But dude,
well, Sal, hold on. No, but that's wrong, isn't it? That's wrong, mate. You can't do things like that. See, you know, you've got to
sign the contract, Sal.
There's no contract.
You did. It's on email.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is that a contract? I completely ignored that. No. I'm going back on that completely.
Oh man.
So have we started? Or
yeah.
What?
Like I said, there is no real start.
So what? You put your headphones down and that's it. That's cue to start, is it? What's this?
Oh yeah.
Is that in the picture as well?
No. So she'll just set up the background.
All right. There is gonna. Yeah. So we haven't really started.
Yeah. We have. I mean, it's okay. There's, like I said, there's no. We don't need to keep like a rule to this whole thing.
So have you got any sunflowers?
But no, we have our show's, what do you say, logo.
Against the Odds.
Yeah. Jesus, did you just say sunflower?
Yeah, sorry. That was a cheap promotion of the series that I appeared in on Z5.
Oh, yeah, you told me.
Yeah, Sunil Grover.
Yeah.
Sunil Grover. Sunil Grover.
Yeah, you sound like a Britisher, yo.
Sunil Grover. See, I used to have the same problem with my name as well. That's why I call myself Sal.
Oh, man.
Because my full name, people just like...
What's your full name?
I'm not telling you.
Come on, you can say it, right?
Because it's like, no, I can say it, but you can't say it.
I can try.
That's the problem. You can try.
Yeah.
All right, let's just say I had a French teacher who used to call me Selim.
Oh.
Which is really irritating. My name is spelled S-E-L-I-M.
Selim. Is that right?
See what I mean?
It's wrong?
Yeah, no, it's correct.
Yeah.
But if you were Turkish and you pronounced it, it'd be Selim.
Ah, okay, Selim.
Or Selim.
Selim, nice.
Selim what? Very funny. See, so what we do is we, and you guys have the same problem as well, you know. People with deep in their name.
Right. Yeah. No, I know what you mean.
You know what I mean?
And even dick in their name.
Dick in their name, you see? With a bit of dick and a deep. Dick. Yeah, exactly. You know, exactly.
Oh man, we're off to a good start, no, don't you think?
Well, is this going to stay in?
Yeah, of course it is.
It's like you meet someone and they oh no, I can't say. Oh yeah, then there's going to be like really cheap below the belt, you know, jokes.
Below the belt, above the belt, and inside your pants, I mean.
That's it. It's like, is it? I'll just call you dick. I don't want to know
exactly.
The rest.
Who cares about it? It's hard. Yeah. Hard dick.
I don't care what state of flux you're in at the moment.
It's a good place to start, Sal.
Is it?
Let's just say Selim.
Sal.
Please,
Sal. Yeah. Sal, because that's my stage name as well. That's what I put in the credits. Yeah. It's easier as well. Yeah. So then people get that wrong as well. Sal, oh, I thought that was short for Sally.
Oh, man.
Salvatore. You can just make salad. You know, salamander. Actually, I had a girlfriend once called Amanda. Mm-hmm. And then we got introduced to the stage to do, like, this is years and years ago.
My God.
And we got introduced to onto the stage to do karaoke. And the guy said, and now it's time for Salamander. Oh, wow. Yeah, it's a lizard, isn't it? It's like, it's a waterbound lizard. A salamander.
It's coming up on stage.
Yeah, I know. Salamander's coming up on stage. Where? Lizards. Jeez.
Where are we?
We're in Britain. We don't have lizards in Britain. I mean, you see so many lizards. That's the beauty of living in India. You see so many exotic creatures, so many beautiful birds as well.
Right.
And I am talking about the feathered variety, although there are, you know, exceptionally beautiful unfeathered varieties as well.
Anyway.
So that's the thing. You see, your eyes are feasted. You see, there's one belief I have. Malayalis make great films because their eyes are filled with masala. You know, if you think of Kerala and how beautiful that is and the colors and how vibrant that is, it's like you can't help. Because I came from a country where London is just dreary.
Yeah.
I hated it. I love the summers, but then it rained a lot in the summers as well. But it was just overcast all the time and grey. I mean, the weather, I mean, it's overcast now, but...
Right. I mean, this is a very different
But
overcast.
It's nice, though. Yeah. Yeah. At least there's the whiteness of the clouds. So the light's being... That is just grey and dull.
Yeah.
And you can see it on people's faces as well.
But do I want to?
Yeah, no. So go to summer go to London in the summertime, where the beauty as well is the sun doesn't set. It doesn't go dark until 10 o'clock in the evening.
Right, yeah.
But don't go to London in the winter.
Yeah.
I used to hate that. You know, you get up at 7 o'clock in the morning, it's dark. You leave for school, it's 8 dark. O'clock in the morning, it's dark, you know. And then you spend your day in school.
It's dark.
No, it becomes light, but you don't really get to experience the light because you're in lessons. And then once you leave school, it's dark.
Like your life.
You're living your life in darkness in winter. Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah.
Why aren't you looking at me? Am I not that, like, you know?
I just saw someone go
by. I know, exactly. Why are you being distracted by what's happening behind me? I should be the center of your attention, correct?
Attraction, center of attraction.
No, law of attraction. That's the law of attraction.
Dude, that's a good segue.
You see?
See, that's like
smooth. I'm clever, aren't I, no?
It's like smooth,
I smoothly slipped that one in.
I like everything you spoke about in the last couple of minutes because I think our conversation today, and again, this is the second time you're on our show.
Yeah,
the first time around was, let's call it a dry run.
Yeah, but I'll tell you something. It kind of works for me in this way, you see. The first, it's always like, well, I recently did this animation, CGI, and it was all very new to all of us. And there were so many technical difficulties that we had on the first day, and things weren't quite working out, and things didn't fit properly, and the system wasn't running. So if someone had walked in and saw us, they'd be like, oh my God, look at that, what a bunch of novices.
Yeah.
The following day, oh my God, everything was fixed.
Clockwork.
It was like clockwork. My God. And if someone had walked in then, they'd think we'd been doing it for years. Right. And I commend them for that. Because, you know, the thing is, like, you have to plow ahead. So if it doesn't work first time, it'll work second time as well.
Right.
It'll work second time around. You see, people get disappointed too quickly. See, I missed out on getting a SEMA award for Best Supporting Actor. But I'm not disappointed. because I know something else will work out. See, mm-hmm. So I'm not because I think what happens is people get disheartened. They get disheartened too quickly, which is what leads them to failure. So you understand that failure leads to success. So we may have messed up the first time around.
Yeah. It wasn't even on us to be...
No, but it doesn't matter. No, yeah. I mean, but this conversation now seems to be a little more fluid.
Correct.
Yeah.
I can see it too. The next 35, 40, 1 hour, however long you want to talk,
yeah.
It's going to be so much more seamless, right? I can see that. And, you know, that's another thing where there's foresight and then there's manifesting and all of that. That too we have to talk about, right?
Yeah. We will. Yeah, I mean, I mentioned the fact of law of attraction as well.
Yeah.
And what I'm finding now is I'm attracting people around me who are like-minded, equally talented, you know, and that's what you kind of draw into your life. Because if you walk around, like I mentioned, like, you know, walk into that cloud, then all you're going to really see is the floor. And you're not going to look up and notice these people coming towards you. I mean, that's the thing. See, a lot of people get hit by a tsunami and they don't even see it running. Mm. Something coming.
Mm. Mm.
See, you should be running because a tsunami is coming. Shouldn't you?
Yeah.
Why are you going to stand there and just, you know, take the crap?
Because basically. You didn't see it coming or running.
Because you didn't see it coming because you didn't listen to the warnings. You didn't listen to your gut.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas, you know, the elephants and all the other birds and everything, you know, when that tsunami was going to hit in 2004, what did the elephants do? They ran to the mountains. Why? Because they could feel the vibration. Did you know that?
It's
amazing, isn't it? You should trust your instinct is what I say. Trust your gut instinct. What your gut instinct tells you is what you should follow. Because, you know, there are times when I've done this as well. It's like I want to ignore it. I want to say, nah.
Yeah.
And sure enough, that thing does happen. It's like, oh, I should have...
Fuck you, Sal.
Yeah, I know. I should have, like, listened. I should have listened to you. Yeah. I should have listened to that voice in my head that said, you shouldn't really take that turning down there. Because there's something... It's like deja vu. Deja vu is those moments where you think, okay, if I do this, that... deja vu moment, that this is going to happen, isn't it? And so you stop yourself and you don't proceed because you know it's a deja vu moment, so you stop yourself from like going anywhere else. And lo and behold, it's like that thought that you had doesn't occur. Religion, if you think of it, it's like it sounds like mass hysteria, doesn't it?
It is. I think it still is.
I mean, it is mass hysteria, but you know, it sounds like mass hysteria. It's like it means that the world is mad because they follow this, I don't know, they believe in an entity or they believe in something that they can't see. It's not tangible. It's not tactile. You can't feel, but on the contrary, you can feel it. You do have that. And, you know, like, that's why I say use your gut instinct, because your gut, in a sense, is your chakra. It's one of your chakras, basically, is in that point. So if it's like reverberating, then listen to it.
There's something to it, right?
There is, absolutely. And all these phrases that people have coined, you know, listen to your gut. You know, your third eye. Yeah. Why would you talk about your third eye?
Yeah, what is it?
Yeah, where is your third eye?
You know? My fourth eye?
My fourth eye. Fight or flight. We do things instinctively.
The sixth sense.
Sixth sense.
Yeah.
Your intuition.
Mm.
When you get a bad feeling about something, it means that there is something bad. If you're, you know, and that's all to do is like it's a disturbance, isn't it? So if you feel disturbed by something, I've met people who I can't explain why I don't, you know, I know that I'm not going to get on with them. So I don't actually go in just by a look.
Yeah.
You know that there's something which is like untoward.
Yeah.
And there are other people who you just gravitate to just immediately.
Yeah.
And isn't that astounding? So there's got to be something in a spiritual sense. You know, that's for why sure. It's a, I mean, it, simple explanation. A magnet. I mean, as a child, I think it was like, wow, that's magic.
Yeah.
You know, you put a magnet and it's like it's forcing itself up. I can't see what's forcing it apart.
Yeah.
And then you turn it, you know, positive, negative, and then suddenly it's, wow, that's the law of attraction, isn't it? Suddenly you like you feel that chemistry with a person and then you just get drawn to them and then you start a conversation. Next thing you know, it's like, oh my God.
Dude, we did that. If you think about it, like, and I was telling my client today that when I reached out to you initially, right, you I reached out to you through some of our common connects, right?
Yes.
And that was a while ago. And when I did do that, obviously because I mentioned that, hey, this is the person who asked me to get in touch with you for the show, you were like, okay, maybe, you know, there's something to it because this person, you know, well, has his head on his shoulders. He knows, right? I mean, he's like a sane guy. So if it's coming through him, then probably there's something to it. So you spoke to me and we kind of, you know, conversed over a couple of calls. But then the thing that stood out is that you said, I've been part of a couple of weird interviews in the past, but I'd like to meet up and see, you know, just talk.
And just talk.
Yeah. And then we'll see. Let's see where it goes. Which is like the ideal situation for me to be in. Because what I do with all of our guests is we spend a good hour or two over the call trying to understand where he or she is coming from, how he or she got here, what are the experiences like, what are their insights like, what have they learned, all of that, right? And we do it over the call because, well, meeting up is a little bit of a challenge. I mean, there's no denying that. You have to really go there in person. And we're not doing this for the shoot. We're just doing this to just catch up, right? But when you said, let's do that, I was like, great. That's exactly what I want. And we met up and we had like a good meal. And we spoke for, 3.5 hours?
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. We met up in Indranagar and we had a good chat.
It was a nice long pizza.
Pardon?
Over a pizza.
That was after the previous.
You see, that's why. So it just continued.
Exactly.
See, the thing is that that's where this conversation is very fluid now. It's like it's almost like it's almost a circular thing. I mean, think about it. Everything in the universe is circular, isn't it? Really.
Cyclical. Yeah.
It is, yeah. And there's spirals in everything that you see. You know, when you watch water going down your drain, it's like there's a spiral. You know, when you think of the galaxy, it's like a spiral. So I think it's like, you know, if you think about here, it's like an exchange of energy.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is sometimes you meet people who are like forcing an issue, an agenda.
Mm.
They have topics and they have agendas and they literally want to put words in your mouth. You know, they want to hear you say. I mean, this is I hate to say the tabloid press that just wants to dig the dirt on you.
Yeah.
You know, they want to get the worst not that they want to get the worst impression of you. You are, they'll put you on a pedestal for a time.
They need something sensational, clickbaity, that's...
Well, look what happened to Tiger Woods. I'll give you an example. Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods was a prodigy.
Yeah.
He was amazing and everyone loved him and he was achieving so much. Then all the scandal came out. Then he was almost like the detriment of society, basically. Yeah. He just went from there right down there.
Of everything, of black people, of everything, yeah.
He stood at a pedestal for so many people, and they shot him down in flames. I hate to say they did the same thing for Amy Winehouse when she appeared drunk on stage in Prague, and they shot her down. My God, if you look at some of the media coverage on her, they were just really below-the-belt jokes about her. And then not long after that, she died.
Yeah.
What did they say after that? It's like, is there no recourse in how you destroy a person? They destroyed him, Tiger Woods. I'm going back to Tiger Woods. Because I recently saw a documentary on him. And my God, that man has come back. What a comeback.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and now he's starting to go back. It's almost like all of that stuff was forgotten.
Yeah, yeah.
All of that stuff was forgotten. And they're all like, oh, Tiger, Tiger. It's like, I just think, how fickle are people? Did you forget that you admonished him at one point and now you're revering him again? It's like, wow. So you I think you have to really tread lightly as well. I mean, I personally just want to be a good role model. I just want to inspire people as well. So, and that's the thing as well. It's like, you know, our conversation is good because we bounce off each other. And there's no one really commanding this conversation. You know, it's like a game of tennis, basically. We're going to keep this game going and you're going to have an audience watching and enjoying the spectacle of the ball going over and back and forth the net. And then someone like throws the ball over to your side of the court and then it'll come back.
Yeah.
But the whole point, the fact is, there's no one overpowering it. There's no one just... A one-sided tennis match is someone like shooting aces all the time and then winning the whole game just by shooting aces. And that's just... That's the strength of just one person's ego, you know? And ego can only take you so far.
Yeah.
But if you can push your ego aside and work with people and want... See, when I'm on stage, for instance, I want the best for all of us on stage. That scene's got to look good. I'm going to be the best I can. But I want people to be as good as me.
I mean, not at the expense of putting someone else down.
Absolutely, because there are people who will try and overpower a scene just to make them look good and keep like a person down.
Yeah.
Because they don't want them. But I want to work on the same level as everyone. I want the scene to be good. I want the play to be good. I want the film to be good.
And I think that's something you would have definitely picked up from your improv days, right? For sure.
Because
you're constantly working off of others' energies. You're working with these guys. I mean, the show's only as good as, well, everyone's energy and everyone's best game, right? You're all trying to put your best foot forward. And especially something like improv, it's like, well, you don't know where it's going, what's happening.
With exceptionally talented people.
Right.
Who are household names.
Right.
So, you know, you have to see yourself working in a particular league as well. You can't just stick anyone on stage and think it's going to work. There has to be a chemistry there. And if the chemistry is not working, if there's an imbalance, then it doesn't work. The scene won't work.
Yeah.
If one person pulls and the other one pushes.
Yeah.
But if they pull together.
And that's so obvious, right, to the audience. You can really see it.
You can see when there's conflict.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can see when there's conflict on set. I mean, conflict can be a good thing. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
That's what creates drama. But conflict in the workplace is not a good thing.
Right.
Because it can be detrimental to the work that you're doing. Because, you know, and I believe in a good working environment where everyone's happy, everyone's sound, and that we all work together to achieve, like, a goal. And the goal is to put out the best thing you could possibly put out.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And if you're not going to play ball, then, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah.
There's the door, mate. Use it.
Yeah. Sod off.
Yeah, go on. Sod off, mate, you know? Go on. Off.
Yeah.
Yeah, you.
Yeah.
I'm talking to you. Yeah, no, don't just stand there. Off, mate. Go on. You're not wanted here. No. You're not wanted, mate. See, figment of my imagination. There's no one actually there.
Oh, man. People are listening. You should definitely check out the video because he's just really all over the place here. This is awesome. Getting like a performance out of Sal as I'm speaking.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Yeah, yeah. See, I'm doing all the hand signs and signals.
No, but I do it.
Look and listen. Or just imagine. Use your imagination. Imagine what I was just doing.
Like exactly how you imagined this person there. But yeah.
Yeah, but they're not really there. You're back again, are you? I told you to leave.
Okay, guys, taking a small break from the conversation to talk about our collaborations and partnerships. So first and foremost, I'd like to talk about our collaboration with Hubhopper. So for people who don't know what Hubhopper is, it's a podcast providing platform, a hosting provider platform, where if you don't know where to host your show or if you're unsure of where to get started with creating audio podcasts, then Hubhopper Studio is the way to go. If you wish to start your own podcast for free, then you can visit hubhopperstudio.com. Hubhopper is one of India's leading podcast creation platform. Start your podcast with Hubhopper Studio and get your voice heard across platforms like Spotify, Gaana, Google Podcasts, Wink Music, and more. Click on the link in the episode description or visit hubhopperstudio.com. I'd like to also take this opportunity to talk about Sennheiser, who is our audio partner for Against the Odds. This is something I thought would not happen well at least not so early on in our journey, but I'm glad it's finally happening. So for people who don't know, Sennheiser is obviously one of the leading audio brands and audio providers in the world, from some of the best professional audio equipment like headphones, microphones. In this case, some of the microphones we're using here for our podcast as well. So currently I'm using the MK8 condenser microphone, and I think we have the MK4 as well here. These are two mics, again, at different budget points or different price points, which again, depending on what your budget's going to be, it's going to fit your use for sure, because the kind of technology that's used in these mics are just incredible. I'm sure you can, you know, hear it yourself right now. So if you want to really take your game up to the next level, or if in case you don't know where to get started with purchasing a microphone, then might I recommend the MK8 or the MK4 from Sennheiser. Also, this episode is recorded and shot at our community partner, location partner, Open Jam Studios. So I'm coming to you from Open Jam Studios, based out of Church Street in Bangalore. So for people who don't know where to get started with creating content, or if in case you don't have the equipment to create content, or maybe you just need a nice professional workspace or studio to get started, then might I recommend Open Jam Studios. I think the process of finding this place itself was a big, big boon for us. The fact that we took a break during that second wave got us to really rethink our previous studio, and it opened up a whole bunch of array of options when it comes to studios. And well, Open Jam turned out to be the best pick out of the lot. So if you'd like to record your show, come on down here. They've got all the equipment on board, and you just have to come on there, pay for the space and get going. It's as simple as that. So I'll leave a link to Open Jam Studios website in the description below for anyone who wants to check it out. Cheers.
But that's the point. The point is like, you know, when I was doing voiceovers as well, because that's how I kind of first started basically, is what you've got to do is, it's your voice.
It's only your voice.
That builds the picture.
Yeah.
You know? You know, you can't speak in a very monotone fashion and expect people to really listen to you and expect them to be really enthralled by what you're saying, and you're playing a scene where, oh my word, the building's on fire. That can change everything. That can change such a mood, you know?
Yeah.
I could tell you a story. Do you want to hear a story? Would you?
Please do. I mean, you're already on a roll.
Well, I'm on a roll now. But, you know, in terms of manifestation, you know, sometimes you have to demonstrate things to people. Because I told you this story the last time. And yeah. I like this story because, I mentioned my mum.
On the trip.
Yeah. On that trip. That trip to Humpy was such a great trip. I'll always remember that. And I remember that because, you know, in a way, it was me. She didn't understand what I was doing here. That's the thing, you see. You struggle and you have to struggle. You're not known. 10 years ago, no one knew who the hell I was. So, you know, you have to build up and you have to, like, show people what you can do. Mm. It's all about, you know, proof of the pudding.
Mm.
Yeah, if you want to show people that you're a good actor, then you better damn be a good actor. Yeah, show it.
Yeah, proof is in the pudding.
Proof is in the pudding. Yeah. But the thing is, you can't get to that point unless you have self-belief. Mm. If you don't believe in yourself, so then these naysayers, these disbelievers... And in a sense, it's like, not that she didn't get it, but she didn't really understand what I was trying to achieve.
Mm.
Neither did I.
Mm.
I wanted to get somewhere. I had a goal in mind of, you know, I mean, I landed up here and said, I want to be in a feature film. How the hell am I going to be in a feature film when no one knows who the hell I am? But it, like Jim Carrey, he's an advocate of manifestation. And that's what you do. You've got to believe it. You've got to have that strong belief, that faith, and it'll happen. So, and in a strange way, it's like, you know, listen to the universe. The universe is in your gut, basically. Because the universe tells you to do stuff and just go with it. Just go with it. And I thought, oh, this is a good opportunity being in Humpy to tell her a story.
Mm.
But a demonstrative story.
Mm-hmm.
And this demonstrative story was, I took her to a place called the Citadel. So we walked up there and she's like, she was late 60s, mid 60s. She's not an incredibly fit woman, but, you know, she's got the energy. And then I took her to the Hanuman temple because I wanted to get there before the sunset.
Mm.
And even I hadn't been up to the top of that temple as well. So we're walking up the steps and there are monkeys, both sides, just clambering up. And she is freaking out. She's palpitating. Oh my God. And I thought, oh my God, great. My mum's come to India and she's going to die here. And my brother and my dad and everyone's going to kill me now. Not only is she going to go, they're going to kill me as well. That's it. I've had it. That's it. I'm definitely having to go back to England now. So I'm thinking, oh, please, just calm down, will you? Just calm down. Oh, the monkeys, the monkeys are like, people are giving them bananas. Of course they're going mental. You know, it's like, so there's monkeys all the way up there, you know. This is the journey up. So we get to a particular point. She's having these problems. I said, just calm down. Calm down. Now, look where we are. And I said, look down. See how far down that is. Now, look up. And there weren't that very many. So it was closer to get to the top than it was to, like, go right back down to the bottom. Well, what would you achieve when you're, like, you're two-thirds of the way up?
Or probably more, yeah.
Or more.
Yeah.
And I said, well, just, like, calm down, okay? Just catch your breath, and we'll just keep going. So we start going, and we get to the top. And monkeys are all around there as well. But, my God, then she opens up, because then there's an incredible view from the top there. And it's outstanding. I said, okay, we're going to go a little further because we're going to go and sit on those boulders there. We're going to watch the sunset. And so we sat on the boulders and the sun was coming down. It was stunning. It was beautiful. You know, it was such a calming moment as well because you really felt like you were in the middle of nowhere as well. You know, there was no cars, no city, no noise, just this stillness, a silence of like that mayhem or that journey going up there as well, because, you know, that's what life is. It's like, it's mayhem. But you know but there's a breaking point as well. And the breaking point is when we sat there and in that peace and that calmness, we watched this sun. And I turned to her and I said, see, this is what India's been like for me. See, I could have given up at any moment like you, but I didn't. And look at the reward. And she's never, ever forgotten that sunset.
And neither have you, clearly.
Neither have I. And whenever she, like, starts going off into, hey, when are you going to come back? When are you coming back? Like, to... Do you remember the sunset?
Yeah.
And that kind of like... And then the tone of the conversation changes. You see, your mothers will never change. Just because they gave birth to you, it means they think they have ownership over you. So it doesn't matter how old you are, I'm telling you. You know, you'll cross the age of 50, but you'll always... You came from me, you did. Yeah, I know, you never let me forget it for 50 years. 50 years you've been telling me this... Well, maybe I didn't understand it for the first 3 years, but, you know, 45 years at least, you've made that known. Jeez. There's no way of reversing that, is there? That would be...
Weird.
So yeah. You gave birth, but you know, you have to have ownership over your own life.
Yeah.
Is what you have to have.
And I think those moments, right, where you could say crossroads, but also these pivotal moments where you decide continue or, you know, like take a 180.
See, now you've learned the lesson as well. But you understand why I told you that
story. Yeah, of course.
Because she learned that lesson in a very demonstrative way.
Yeah, in a physical sense.
But when I tell that story, it's a lesson to other people as well to learn. It's like, you know that's just a small achievement.
Correct.
You know, because trekking a mountain is not easy. Once you get to the summit, then my God, what you see from there is like, wow, there are other amazing places. I've always been fixated with Everest. I want to go to base camp, but I don't think I want to go to the summit. Because that from base camp to the summit is incredibly treacherous. So many people have lost their lives doing that.
Yeah.
You know, so many people, but what they achieve from that, you know, on a personal level is amazing. But that's life, isn't it? You will find that there are some treacherous moments. And you really got to really push through those.
Plow through them, right?
Plow through it.
Yeah.
Because you know, you yourself know that. See, you could have done a few podcasts at the beginning, thought, actually, this is not working out, and just like thrown it to the wayside, you know? I mean, you yourself, you've actually said that, you know, well, when it first started out, it was like this. Now it's kind of moved to this. And now here you are doing this and, you know, interviewing like...
Salem.
Celebrities. See, I don't see myself as that, you know. I mean, I'm happy to catch the metro. I want to be like Keanu Reeves, you know, on the metro.
Yeah.
He's humble.
Oh, my God. I'd love to meet that guy.
Would I?
Yeah, my God.
But that's all right, manifestation. This is how manifestation works, is you have that thought you had that thought of like, yeah, I'd love to work with him. And if that thought is strong enough, then there's a possibility that could happen. See, that possibility for me now is not that far down the line. There's a possibility that could happen. You know, when I first came here, I mean, I didn't see the possibility of me being in a film, let alone 10, let alone being nominated for an award. You know, but then now I'm like, okay, so I'm nominated for that award, but okay, I'm not disappointed in me because there are other potential awards that you could win.
Yeah.
But it's feasible now.
Yeah. And also, I don't think this. So tell me this, how does this work with manifestation? Because when you came here, you knew you had to be in a feature film, but you didn't know that it had to be a regional film or that it had to be a Bollywood film.
No.
Which again, you were part of all of these, right? So yeah. So what is going on through your mind? Because a lot of people, you know, like you said, probably, you know, like third off is hoo ha, and it's like, okay, it's just nonsense, right? But how clear was your vision, if I had to put it that way?
Simple steps.
This is like 10-step guide to manifestation by Sal.
Yeah, simple steps, because everything works in tandem.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, laws of attraction and manifestation works in tandem.
Yeah.
Because law of attraction, you're attracting the kind of people that will help you move forward.
Mm.
See how far my arrow is moving? See, like, it's moving. See, what happens is this. You see, if your arrow is pointing in every direction,
and you're spreading yourself thin.
Yeah, all right, here. See, I'm doing this, and I'm actually, you know, I don't even know what I'm doing. But now I've figured out what I'm doing now. It's like a compass. Yeah. It's a compass, because the earth has its own magnetism as well. And you, believe it or not, you consider yourself a magnet. You're going to start attracting and repelling things. Now, when I first came here, I did some like scam voiceovers, and that was like a holiday when I first came here. And I thought, oh, wow, this is good. This is the kind of stuff that I've always wanted to do.
Mm.
You know, and that's love, basically. It's a passion.
Mm.
It's like, oh, I love doing this. It's great. When I was a kid, I was really shy, incredibly shy. But when I got on stage playing this German, I won't say German, it was a Nazi, like, opens the door, that's what it was. That was my very ever first line I ever did. Wow. As a small kid, it was like, opens the door.
That is so German.
It was. And I'm like, okay, I'm doing a German accent, you know. But I loved that feeling of being, that nervousness of going on stage, and I loved it. But we never really had the opportunity to do it. I never had the opportunity of doing drama at school, and I would have loved doing that, but I loved my art lessons. So I've always been a creative person as well. So I've always been drawn to that. So like doing voiceovers for radio commercials was being creative, and it's like, oh, wow, I love that. I was a teacher when I was in England. That was draining.
Mm.
That was draining, because you're giving off your energy. And then you're just going home and you're feeling like completely draining. You're like, why am I doing this? Oh, yeah, I'm doing it for the money so I can pay a mortgage. And I can, you know, the mortgage, rent, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you understand, an EMI. Yeah. I'm just doing it for that. Oh, I'm just making money. But I'm not enjoying what I'm doing. You know, but I mean, I like clowning around in front of the kids, doing impersonations of people. Hello, my name is David. I like playing football. Soccer, football. Oh, I don't know what you call it anymore. No. Hello, children. It's good to be here with you. Hi. My name is Michael. One day in your life, you'll remember.
Start moonwalking all of a sudden.
Love. No, they all. It's like when the moment I said, hello, it's good to be here with you, children, the kids would start laughing. It's like, hey. Man's a legend.
Yeah, stop. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Show some respect.
Yeah, stop discrediting the guy, you know? Why are all these great people discredited? And, you know, and the other thing as well is like impersonations and being impressionable.
Mm.
You know, someone like David Beckham was incredibly impressionable on people because he was a great footballer, basically, is what he was. Michael Jackson was incredibly impressionable on people. No one will ever forget Michael Jackson.
I think anyone who gets past a certain point is impressionable,
right? You almost become a demigod in a sense,
right?
You know,
yeah.
And not that I'm trying to achieve that, right. But what I would like to achieve is something where I can inspire maybe change the course of action, you know, even inspire a different way of acting in this country as well, in India. You know, so as much as I've got, whatever I've gained, I give. So going back to this law of attraction. So, you know, I did those radio spots and then I met other people as well. People who now are already quite influential. Raghu Dixit was the sound engineer at the time. I wouldn't say he was a struggling musician, excellent musician, but he was looking for that breakthrough. And then he got it. And he introduced me to his brother, Vasu Dixit. And the same as well. These guys now you can put on a pedestal. I mean, Raghu is internationally renowned. Oh yeah, actually, you know, nationally and internationally renowned. And and Basu is becoming, you know, nationally renowned, and I'm sure he'll step up as well. I mean, like, that's an incredible.
There's a good chance Basu will be on the show. So yeah, and maybe even Raghu. So let's see again.
So yeah, but you know, but how inspirational are these people as well?
Yeah,
and to know that I met these people, you know, on that. On the periphery of breaking through and you know, coming out into like blossoming, basically, you know, it feels like, you know, we were there, we were all kind of brimming under the surface, and then suddenly we kind of sprouted and now these like sunflowers are growing.
Yeah Nice plug.
Yeah, sunflower, watch it, it's on Z5. I have a very minimal role as an NRI, but you know, to work with someone like Sunil Grover as well, you see how the course of your career can take so many different tangents.
Yeah.
But as long as you keep plowing ahead, which I think that's a really good way of describing it. You know, fields don't plow themselves, do they?
Yeah.
Seeds don't plant themselves. You've got to put in the effort and the work.
Yeah.
So that work and effort has to be there as well. You can't just sit back and be a couch potato and expect it to come to you. You still have to go out there and
put yourself out there.
You've got to attract that to you. So then one thing leads to another. So let me fast track. I was doing commercials as well. Then I found myself doing commercials. My brother-in-laws were very instrumental in that and helping me, because they kind of established a point for themselves as well. And then I found myself in a feature film. And that's because I'd been doing these commercials and they recognized me, you know, the particular person recognized me. And I got a small role in a film. And then I was sort of scouted on Facebook as well, as a foreigner. And then I end up being in now a classical Malayali film. And in that film, I had three lines.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. How can you forget three lines? But it was a narration over the top of it.
Right.
But so my first line was Taku.
Okay.
Taku. My second line was Job. And my third line was Poo.
Very intriguing,
sir. And then the film that followed that, you see, this was Amol Nira. And that was Iyo
Binde Pustavam. Yeah.
Thank you very much for pronouncing it correctly. You see? See, in the same way people can't pronounce my name.
You're welcome, Selim.
Yeah, that's it. Selim a bunch of bananas. Okay. But you know, yeah, see, that's why my name is Sal. See, because of, like, you know, people like you.
I didn't say
you're
it.
Laughing at my name.
But you said it.
No, but you're still laughing though, aren't you?
But you said the phrase.
Of course I said the phrase. But anyway, going back to
Iyo Binde Pustakam.
That's perfect. That perfect, didn't I?
Like a perfect voiceover artist. Call me on 1-800.
Okay, say it again.
Iyo Binde Pustakam. So for everyone listening, you guys need to go check out the video version, because we're just all over the place here.
I was just thinking. Anyway, so
that's just part one of my conversation with Sal. It was a long conversation with him, so I decided to chop it up into two parts. So part two will be out sometime in the near future. So hit that subscribe button or follow button if in case you don't want to miss out on part two. And yeah, I hope you liked this episode and found it super intriguing and useful. And if you did, then love it if you could just share the episode with your family and friends. Yeah, it's always a fun and intriguing chat with Sal. So usually when I reach out to my guests, I give them a call and have a conversation with them for about 30-45 minutes or so, just to understand where they're coming from and understand what their journey's been like. So it gives me a construct or a framework to follow while I'm having the conversation. And with Sal, it was very different, right? Because I reached out to him and I asked him, hey, would you like to be on my show? And he said, yeah, I'd love to be on a show, with his usual British gusto, and he's like, I'd love to be on a show, but let's first meet up because I don't know if you have some tricks up your sleeve. And I'm like, tricks? What do you mean by tricks? I don't have anything up my sleeve. So let's just, you know, meet up and do it. And it was great because I got to meet the person and spend a good couple of hours with him. And that was just the beginning of a lot of conversations with Sal. I've then gone on to meet him so many more times. And it's been really intriguing. And I think that's why we were so comfortable when we sat down and had this conversation. And we were able to talk about a whole bunch of things. So yeah, Sal, I love you, buddy. Thank you so much for being part of Against the Odds. For you audience folks, if you're watching this, you're still listening to this, and you haven't hit the like button, then wait, what? You just spent like good 45 minutes of your time watching this, but you haven't hit the like button. I'm assuming you like it and that's why you're still watching. So then hit the like button. And if you haven't subscribed, then now would be a good time to subscribe. Like I said, part 2 will be out sometime in the near future. If you are listening to this though, if you're not watching this, then I would recommend just a small way you can help out support the show. So you can leave a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts if you have an Apple device. Or if you're listening to this over Spotify, then it's a simple way for you to leave a rating on the app. It's a new feature that they've just released, and I would love it if you can go there and preferably give us 5 stars. So yeah, if you can just do that, literally will take you only 10 seconds, but it'll go a long, long way in supporting the show and showing me some love, showing us some love, because I'm putting in my heart, mind, soul, body, everything into what I'm creating here. So I'm just, yeah, I'll just be super thankful if you can do this, and it'll really help get the word out. If you like this kind of content, then I'm certain you like reading too, because, well, it's all in the self-help category or the self-help realm. So if that's the case, then might I recommend you sign up for my newsletter. It's completely free. It'll always be free. I'll leave a link to my website. I think we have close to 1,000 people have signed up on the newsletter, and the feedback's just being great. It's slowly but surely growing. And I'm taking quite a bit of my time to write out some of these short reads, which I think will definitely get you thinking, and I'm hoping acting as well. So if you'd like to sign up for my newsletter, head on down to akashdamodhan.com and sign up. It's completely free. I guess that's pretty much it. It wraps up part 1 of my conversation with Sal. Next episode, we have a very interesting guest. I can't wait for you to meet this funny guy who we might know as a funny guy to everyone who follows him on Instagram and YouTube. Well, it's basically Macwin Ian D'Souza. He's on the show next week. We know him to be this funny guy, but the conversation that we had really jumped into so many other things. Things that you would never expect a person like Macwin to even do or even talk about. So yeah, stay tuned for that. I'm sure you'll like it. And yeah, I guess that's pretty much it. I'll see you on the next one. Cheers.